We all want more from our work than just a paycheck and decent hours. We want to do something we care about, something that matters. The quest to build a corporate culture around meaningful work led Chip Conley to found a boutique hotel chain based on the ideas of Abraham Maslow. And Maslow was the psychologist who invented this famous concept, the hierarchy of needs. It looks like a pyramid with food and shelter at the bottom and self-actualization all the way at the top. That's the place where people reach their full potential. So what would a self-actualizing company look like? Here's Chip Conley with Steve Paulson.
I was the founder and CEO of a boutique hotel company, and we had become the largest hotel company in the Bay Area. And in 2001, when the dot-com bust started, we were running out of cash. We had about 6 weeks of cash left to make payroll. We had 21 or 22 hotels in the San Francisco Bay Area at the time, and the market was in free fall down. And so I went to the local bookstore looking for a business book, and I ended up in the self-help section, which is where I got reacquainted with Abraham Maslow's psychology theory. He's famous for the hierarchy of needs theory. It spoke to me on a personal level, but it also really said to me, gosh, if individuals can be self-actualized at the top of the pyramid, at the peak of the pyramid, why couldn't a company, since companies are full of individuals? And so I came back to the senior executives in my company, and I had the persuasion power of being the founder, and I just said, I want to reapply Maslow for our company and see if it works. And we applied it and created a hierarchy of needs for employees, for customers, and for investors.
What does that mean, a hierarchy of needs? I mean, how does that apply to a workplace?
Well, for employees, it means actually when I did a little research, I found that the pyramid, a three-level pyramid for employees would be money at the base of the pyramid or compensation package, recognition in the middle. And then at the top of the pyramid's meaning. How do you create meaning? And literally, we had housekeepers, we're a hotel, so we had people cleaning toilets. So, you know, what their business card should say toilet cleaner on some level if it's functional. But, you know, we really actually sort of asked our housekeeping staff, what is it that you do if we really took a step back? If a Martian came down and saw what you did for the guests every day, what would they call you? And we did that exercise literally with hundreds of maids in a room. And we've got things like, I'm the mom away from home. Or we're the peace of mind police. We help you as the housekeeping staff feel like when you come back to your room at the end of the day, it's not just orderly, but maybe even there's a little written note saying, I hope you had a great day.
And you're serious about this. I mean, because the cynic might think, oh, this is a line that the CEO is feeding us about why the maid cleaning the toilet is going to feel good about her job. I mean, you're saying these house cleaners, they meant this. I mean, this is why the job was meaningful
to
them.
It gave meaning. So we started actually doing research, interviewing our staff throughout the whole company, asking them, not the question is what gives you meaning, but asking a question like, what made you feel good in the last month?
Okay, so this is how Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs applied to the people working in your company. What about to your customers, to the people staying at your hotels?
So the pyramid for customers, if there's a three-level pyramid, would be the expectations, meeting expectations at the base. And most companies get very fixated on that. Like, okay, in the hotel business, that means, you know, was it a clean room? Was the check-in efficient? At the end of the day, though, that's not why you create loyalty. Loyalty is created a little bit higher. So the second level of this pyramid is meeting the desires of a customer. Was the staff friendly to you? Did you get a note from the general manager? Did you get upgraded to a room with a view? So those are the kinds of things that are meeting desires. But at the top of this pyramid is this very intangible thing of meeting the unrecognized needs of the customer. And that means you have to be a mind reader. You actually have to know your customer better than they know themselves and maybe understand what they would love to see as a customer that nobody else has been doing. And that's where innovation happens. Generally, companies that are good at the top of this pyramid, the customer pyramid, have evangelical customers, customers who fall in love with them, and they're your biggest marketing team.
So what are some examples of these unrecognized needs, whether at your company or at other companies?
For me, with my hotel company, it was trying to understand the person. I understood for one of my hotels that we needed to put a yoga studio up on the top floor, the penthouse floor of a financial district hotel, which 15 years ago when we were doing this didn't make any sense to my investors. But it made sense to me that the people who are actually going out and growing the yoga craze in this country were generally people who were business people, affluent, and when they travel, they're out of their rhythm.
What do you see in the best CEOs? Do they have personal qualities of leadership?
Yeah, I think the best CEOs are a combination of being vulnerable and confident at the same time, which sounds oxymoronic. It's hard to be both, but it starts by being authentic and real, so people trust you.
So this is something that you've had to deal with in your own life, show vulnerability
sure.
to people who work for you?
Yeah. Unfortunately, at the start of the Great Recession in August 2008, I had a flatline experience and literally died on stage after a speech. But 3 months later, I'd created this equation that came from Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, which is despair equals suffering minus meaning. I came up with that the night that this flatline experience happened. And so I actually shared that equation, despair equals suffering minus meaning, with our senior executive team, our 80 top leaders, at our annual conference 3 months later. And I did that partly because what I saw in the company was more and more suffering and a lot of fear, because we were going into a historically deep recession, and the travel industry gets creamed in a recession. So I was supposed to give this speech to our top 80 leaders, and my top two people in the company gave me a speech, and it was a cheerleading speech. And I said, the last thing I should be doing is getting up there and talking about something false and just trying to rah-rah through this. So not only did all these executives in the company have to hear, whoa, Chip actually had a flatline experience. We didn't know it. Oh, and Chip's actually telling us next year is going to be a really bad year. We were hoping he was going to tell us it was good. But the fact that he's being vulnerable and he's being real with us meant we could have a very thoughtful 90-minute conversation that led to 2.5 days together of really huge progress.
How did people respond when they heard that you had nearly died?
Cry. People were crying. I was crying on stage. They were crying in the audience. And I think more than anything, people realized how fragile life is and yet how bonding the experiences in work can be. There's a great, in rowing, there's an actual state of being in rowing. When you get all of the crew members rowing at the same time, they call it swing. And what happens is the boat actually starts to lift slightly out of the water because everybody's in unison and it moves faster. That describes any organization, for-profit or nonprofit, that is really, they're swinging. And so I guess this is what we call a swinging company.
That is Chip Conley talking with Steve Paulson. Conley's the head of global hospitality and strategy for Airbnb. He's also the author of Peak, How Great Companies Get Their Mojo from Maslow.